March 15 was a much anticipated date in Vietnam. You can almost hear the collective relief when the government finally resumed inbound tourism on that day after 2 years of border closure. Tourism sectors account for about 10% of the GDP before the pandemic, and most of that came from inbound tourism, so it was quite a big deal. But is it entirely positive news? How are industry players going to use this milestone and essentially this entire pandemic to transform itself for the better in an industry that does not exactly have a reputation for being sustainable? This is Sam Nguyen. In this episode with Vietnam and Boba, behind the headlines, you get to hear directly from the voices inside Vietnam's tourism sector.
Is it truly a milestone for all of us in the tourism industry? But there are pros and cons on both sides to discuss about tourism, especially for the inbound.
That's Ngo Minh Quân. He's a management staff at one of the largest travel firms in Vietnam, and he's going to get candid with us about the pros and cons of the border reopening and the tough decisions businesses have to make in this climate.
So the industry that always craving and yearning for, you know, high skilled employees now even have the shortest of experienced staff because of COVID that will never return to the industry, right? So it's even more serious.
That's Linh Lê, who's also known among her friends as Soline. Soline is a lecturer in tourism and hospitality management at RMIT University and Brathwaite College, who also has plenty of business experience under her belt, having worked in directing and strategy positions at a dental tourism company. At Vietnam and Boba, we believe in the benefits of learning from different perspectives when it comes to one particular issues, including this one, and we believe that it will benefit you as well. But first, let's start off the discussions with Quân.
When they open in 15 March, the problem is it's not the whole, let's say, the whole master plan to go with it, like communications. You have to go around and say that, yeah, we Vietnam, we open again, so let's come in. And we have a very clear instructions for all the international tourists to come to Vietnam and so on. So that led to the challenge that we haven't had any tourists coming yet, and we have a lot of debts to debt. So that's the problem. So before, to maintain the operations, there's a lot of costs. The cost is pretty much the it's not mentioning about the suppliers. We have to have human resources and all the fixed costs that we have to maintain the buildings, things like that. And when that announcement coming in that we open again, when all the suppliers they heard that and say, okay, now you have the right to operate your business again. It's time for you to face and to deal with the debts that we have so far. So on one side, we haven't had any international tourists yet, and one side, we have to deal with all the debts.
Over 1.5 months after reopening, tourists aren't exactly waiting at a door to go to Vietnam en masse, meaning businesses like Quân's have to deal with costs and debts as COVID-19 can no longer be an excuse not to pay them. Oh, by the way, because Quân is not authorized to talk to the media, we won't mention the name of his company here.
Just like your hotel, your international, very big hotel. So I buy, let's say, 1,000 nights from you with a wholesale price. So that's a package that I bought. So for that 1,000 nights, I will divide into small packages and combine with other suppliers and services into a package tour. Let's say 2 nights plus restaurants and things like that. But when the internationals, let's say when the tourists coming in, the UR service, and we got the payment, I'm gonna pay you back. So that's how it works. So let's say I already bought your 1009, but due to COVID-19, I haven't used any of them. And I make an excuse that because of the COVID-19, I haven't had any business yet within 2 years, so let's not pay it now. But now, the announcement of reopening is coming, and everyone knows that we already opened it again. So COVID-19 is no longer an excuse. So we have to face that we haven't had any tourists yet, no revenue, and we still have debts to debt. So that's the problem.
But what I'm hearing from you, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that the March 15 reopening is indeed a good news. It means you can restart your business. But because there wasn't a clear instructed plan towards that day, it made it harder for businesses yourself to restart again. Is that right?
Yeah. Let's say if they plan to open on March 15, we have to know in advance, at least 2 or 3 weeks in advance, to do what? To prepare our products, to do our promotion, to do our marketing and campaign, so that we can attract a lot of customers. So that once they announce that, okay, we open again, so we all ready for that. But the fact is, if anyone stay in Vietnam, know is that the announcement was made on March 15, but the instructions from the Ministry of Health coming on the 16th, so which is not making any sense. It must be before that. It's not even the same day. So, I mean, it's a good news, but it could be better if we have let's say a better preparations for that. So it's not only looking under the perspective of the government, but also a private sectors, just like business like us. We need to know what happened and how we're going to prepare. So if you want to approach the international tourists, you have to announce and have, let's say, documents and papers and let's say official dispatch, things like that, to announce to the tours operators, to announce to the tourism board of let's say cities and provinces, and also even in the Vietnamese ambassadors in certain countries that you want to attract the international tourists. So it happened that way. Until now, what I heard from a few Vietnamese ambassadors is that they don't have any clear instructions on how to guide the international tourists to come to Vietnam. Because where's the flight? So how I'm going to apply for the visa? Is that on arrival? Or I can apply from the Vietnamese embassy. So a lot of things must happen at the same time if you want that to happen. An announcement is good, but it's not enough.
Quân told me that the timing of the reopening was not ideal also because Vietnam is already behind regional competitors like Thailand and Cambodia, who already resumed their international tourism before Vietnam did. Because entry guidance and COVID-19 related requirements were not distributed through the right channels to potential tourists enough time before or at the time of the reopening, Quân said that could drive a lot of people away.
Just remember, we're already behind. Let's say on the procedure that we do with the COVID-19, on the vaccinations, we're all behind a lot of European countries, and they already recover from the COVID-19. So it's the time that people, they decided to go travel again. And if we catch them in the wrong timing, so we're gonna lose a lot of international tourists. Let's say now they are used to Bangkok, they are used to Bali in Indonesia, or even in Cambodia. So what makes it interesting enough for them to go to Vietnam if we don't have any clear instructions because it's not really a comparative point anymore. It's just a requirement. So it's not a pros, it's just a must that we must have. And even that, we don't have enough information. So what makes them travel to Vietnam? So that's the point. So wrong timing could be the main issues. Let's say 15th of March. If we do that in somewhere in February, in January, it could be a different story.
The pandemic made industry players like Quân realize one big fat flaw in the system, the over-reliance on international tourists. In 2019, Vietnam's tourism industry earned $32.8 billion. In the 5 years up to and including 2019, Chinese, Koreans, and Japanese were the most frequent visitors according to Vietnam National Administration of Tourism. In recent years, Chinese visitors alone have accounted for around a third of inbound tourists.
It's time for us to restructure all of our products so that it could fit both. It's not only for international tourists, but also for the Vietnamese as well. Because I think the main thing is that you would never know what would happen. Just like pandemic, who ever thought that one day there's no international tourists coming to Vietnam? Especially in 2019, where we have very huge success in terms of revenue, in terms of international arrivals, in terms of international flights we have per day. But once it happened, you're gonna know how important is the international, I'm sorry, is the domestic market. So I think that's the main benefit that we have so far. Because for my company, we stay in our comfort zone for a really long time. Let's say 27 years. We survive with package tours and only package tours. We don't think, and let's say the main income, the main revenue for our company is actually outbound and inbound. It's not really a domestic market. So in this time, we trying our best to balance our revenues, means that we have to balance our product as well.
Companies are not simply made of revenues and products, they're made of people. And when the wake-up call has meant different things for those in a management positions, lower-level staff are threatened in the wake of a systematic restructuring.
That's the time when you realize that the structure of the company is really heavy, and we have to cut all that. We have to restructure all over again. And so that it could go in a shorter procedure. It's not as before. Second, if a person stay in that position or doing the same thing for so long, it's very hard for them to change, for them to adapt to the new products or new markets. But for the freshmen, everything's new. So they the one who travel at the moment, they the one who create the market, they the one who approach on the media and the new channels that we have, let's say TikTok. So it's easier for us to train them. So it's not only because of the cost, but also the ability to adapt to the new normal of the freshmen is really higher. So that's the truth.
That does sound very harsh for veterans who have been working in the tourism sector for a while, and then found themselves in COVID situation where
they're
no longer desirable.
That's the ugly truth of the moment. But it's not only in tourism industry. Let's say most of the industries had changed in a way that unpredictable, and the higher the adaptability, the higher the chance for them to survive. So if they think they could change, if they think they could adapt to a new normal, and they show that, it could be a different stories.
I'm obviously just speaking out loud here, and I'm not a businesswoman, so I probably don't know what I'm talking about. But wouldn't it be also an option for companies to make use of experienced staff and help retrain them so that they can increase their adaptability? Because
yes,
if the staff has stayed with you for so long,
of
they
course.
Know how to work with you and stuff like that, right?
Okay, don't get me wrong. We don't plan to vanish all of them, because in a way, experienced people, they should be the leader, because they know what happened, they know what should be managed, but there's just a few leaders in a team. We don't have to have all leaders there. So the competition is really tough right now for them to stay in the company. They have to show what it takes, not only for sales like before, but they have to have leadership. They have to have a lot of other soft skills that prove that they have the right to stay in that position. So that's where those who could not improve have to step out of the industry, or at least the company.
When I asked Odin Ling Lei, the lecturer in tourism and hospitality management, about manpower issues in the sector, she started to peel off layers of inequalities, particularly when it comes to staff who come from ethnic minority backgrounds. Vietnam has 54 ethnic groups, with the King ethnic group KINH account for 85% of the population and dominate every aspect of life. Meanwhile, they are crucial in many localities like Vietnam's northern hotspot town, Sapa. When it comes to preserving local identities, cultures, way of life, some of these features are the very reason that attract tourists to places like Sapa.
COVID also makes it more challenging for especially native people. If you talk about, let's say, ethnic minority group of people, obviously, from the starting point, they did not have the opportunity to attend, you know, like with high education to attend the specific skill, you know, training, or like have a proper bachelor degree in tourism and hospitality as compared to, you know, like a Vietnamese, the King people, for example. So when the big layoff, right, happens, right, a lot of companies gonna cut these people first. While ethical companies, they will actually lower the salary of the top management because they have been earning a lot anyway, right? Of the top management, and try to keep the staff, you know, like the staff, let's say, like housekeepers, security, and all that. Yeah. So it depends on the, you know, the core of the management in this way, but they're still, you know, unsustainable practice happened because of COVID, or in the name of COVID.
Outbreaks after outbreaks for the last 2 years have made many, many people leave the industry and change professions. A survey released mid last year by the Vietnam Tourism Advisory Council showed that 18% of travel firms had laid off all their employees, while about half of businesses have let 50 to 80% of employees go. Even before the pandemic, it was already a challenge for industry players to find and recruit qualified staff. According to a report published in 2020 by Vietnam National Administration of Tourism, the industry needs about 40,000 workers every year. Meanwhile, the number of students graduating from the tourism and hospitality field every year is only about 15,000 people.
So the industry that always craving and yearning for, you know, high skilled employees now even have the shortest of experienced staff because of COVID that will never return to the industry, right? So it's even more serious. So if you actually, you know, look up, you'll see that a lot of even like luxury sector right now, they are doing massive recruitment, right? It's like mass recruitment. So it's a lot of opportunity for the fresh grad students, but it's also, you know, a challenge. And I guess that the employee have to really. You know, they cannot always increase the salary just to hope that they're gonna attract, you know, like good employees. At the end of the day, the long term solutions is training, providing training. But training is just reaction, like, you know, like just reaction, reactive, immediate reaction to, you know, it's like immediate solution, short-term solution, right? The longer-term solution is actually partners, for example, with education, let's say universities, to update their programs to create more practical experiences. Because there's a lot of changes in the industry. Like, for example, when COVID happens, the sectors immediately change. A lot of properties used to serve the staff only serve inbound tourists. And now they're confused. And they were not sure how to serve Vietnamese customers, especially luxury sectors. They're very different in terms of behavior, right? And for that, it's already, you know, require immediate training, right? But how can, you know, education sector being up to date with this? And also because of the employee layoff, now it, you know, the skills of a typical employee in the industry is that it's multitasking. Of course, we're always multitasking, but it means that, for example, in the morning, you might, you know, stand and serve in the breakfast, right? In F&B in the restaurant, if they like, you know, a lack of staff. The afternoon, you might have to be there, you know, at noon time to for checkout or even like to support if it's like, you know, overloading with check-in, right? In the evening, you might even go and support other, you know, maybe in the lounge area or in the bar area. So there's a lot of scenario, and it's, you know, it's come back to multitasking. Right. So they also have to partner with the training centers. So we talk about, like, you know, like the skill training centers, like Saigon Tourist, you know, Academy, or recently there's a new one, I think VET, that belong to ESL, Ecotalazan, or like a lot in Phú Quốc, because Phú Quốc seriously lack of, like, you know, manpower while it's on the 5-star luxury markets in Phú Quốc, right? So they have to work with those, you know, schools, education center, and also training centers to update with the new skills, with the actual scenario, the problem that happening in the industry right now.
As a lecturer, Soline has to constantly keep her students up to date with the new trends and developments in the industry. What is key, though, she said, is to help students understand what tourism and hospitality as a sector, as a profession, essentially is.
When you talk about hospitality, by the way, hospitality, I believe that was not translated correctly in Vietnamese. Is the degree is translated as like, you know, as a du lịch khách sạn. All right. Well, you know what's hospitality, right? In English, right? Hospitality is basically like when, you know, great hospitality from the host and all that. So basically, it's customer service based, right? Customer service, customer experience, and every industry, you know, can offer that. Like, with, for example, dental tourism. If you really think about it, it's like dentistry that need service people who understand tourists to come in and provide the service to translate, right, it into the needs and to work with the tourism suppliers, right? It is also service. You know, actually, tourism hospitality student are really, you know, I would use the word like hunted by real estate, banking, and insurance industry, right? So very little group of talents here being hunted by many industries, right? Because of the good service mindset.
COVID-19 has completely transformed the industry on both the demand and supply side, on what is wanted and what is being offered.
Definitely, you know, COVID has like, you know, completely turned most of our life upside down. The things we start looking at, the things that matters more to our life. Therefore, there's already shifting in demands, in the behaviors of the tourists. They now gonna try to avoid all of the mass tourism destination. Like, you don't want people don't want to squeeze, you know, into the place full of people because of, you know, hygiene purpose with what they went through after COVID, right? So the demand is there. They prefer nature-based destinations with less tourists. So ideally, community-based or ecotourism, all right? And it means that more sustainable destinations, greener, and also with the dominant of millennials as the main spending power right now. Millennial is very conscious about sustainability, supporting that, you know, ethical traveler, supporting local communities. So those are great. However, in the other side, I have to say, unfortunately, this is also the chance for a lot of suppliers try to make up for the postponement for the last two years. It means that a lot of construction's gonna resume again, new projects going on, more buildings, and it's already happened for the past that, you know, they're still building it, right? The things that, you know, in tourism industry or sustainability development, you know, we're talking in general, we always say that COVID has shifted our effort at least like a few steps back, right? Now, a lot of F&B, for example, in the name of COVID, they completely switched to single plastic use, right, for health safety reason. So, in the name of COVID, that's very unfortunate. And also, because why? Because it's like, you know, to protect the employees or that they don't have to wash, you know, those glasses. I think that, you know, it's safer for the customers as well. If in the name of COVID for safety, who can say anything, right? No one can say anything. Like, no one gonna, like, you know, maybe boycott the brand that now only use plastic. What can they do if that's the answer? Yeah, it's very unfortunate. Or like more projects building because it reopens means that, like, you know, everyone coming back, build more, you know, build more, maybe exploit more as well, because now is the time for you to make up for what you lost for the past 2 years.
Transformations do happen, but not necessarily sustainable development in this case. Mass tourism was a pre-COVID story. Is it going to continue to be a post-COVID one?
Now, the type of tourists that go after sustainable tourism, as you said, they are very specific. But when you talk about, you know, community-based tourism or ecotourism, right, it's never meant to be mass. It's very different from mass tourism, right? There are a few different types. Of course, like every type of tourism product, you have the range of scale, right? You still can find a bit of like more luxurious side, right? That also, for example, if you look at Six Sen Kung Dao, right, they do have the great program that conserve like the nature, and they really go beyond with educating the customer. They have a lot of workshops, very interesting workshops, all that. And then they signed even recently the contract with the Kung Dao government about, like, you're not using plastic, single plastic use. It's great program, and they are the, you know, in the luxury sector, right? And then you also have the, you know, like the homestay, for example, where you stay with all of the community people, which is more toward the budget side. So there's a bit for everyone. Everyone can try it, right? But then you also have the middle, then where they build it. You probably hear a lot about buildings, projects in Hazang, in Sapa. Sapa is very unfortunate. What happening in Sapa right now? You know, everyone building more so that they can, you know, have more homestay. But the homestay originally, because I just come back from Sapa end of February, the homestay originally, for example, they look at the traditional house at of the Hmong people. Right, for example, like they have very specific design with no window, but now you go there, you will see all of the, like, you know, modern type buildings that it's not even really what they call homestay, where you stay with the locals anymore. The locals don't even stay there, right? They build it like look like the king's house, like house from king people, because those are more modern. But they don't realize that the more they build and, you know, like extend so that they can fit in more people in these areas, it's gonna, you know, erase the identity of the place, right? And then you cannot even recognize that, you know, it's Sapa, the house of the people from, like, let's say Black Hmong anymore, because those don't even look like their house anymore, right? So the guidance, the protection, the policies that coming from the local governments is very important to protect the identity.
And when it comes to the sustainability of tourism education, Solene did not have an easy time reassuring her students and their parents about when and how the industry was going to resurrect itself during times like these.
You know, it's funny because it's so challenging in 2020 and early 2021, because you see a lot of students filled with uncertainty, telling me that their parents forcing them to change or putting a lot of pressure for them to switch the degree. And they, like, you know, also a lot of parents reach out to me as well, asking if they should send, you know, like their high school kids to, you know, next year or the year after to tourism hospitality management. And you have to tell them that, you know, it's going to come back. Well, you don't even know when it's going to be back. And, you know, like, and don't forget that Vietnam dental tourism, we have, like, you know, most of business was in inbound tourism. Right. So even the business ourselves, right, we don't even know, and we're full of uncertainty as well. And at the same time, we have to motivate the kids. But I think it's just the faith of the people who work in the industry. And as already said, that it's in humans' DNA to explore. Like, we yearn for it. We crave for it. It's just behaviors. At least we experience something that, you know, never existed in the, you know, in the history. How many, you know, it's, if you look at it that way, it's so interesting, because you have people, you know, work for their whole life and something like this never happened, and they don't know how to react to it. But then if people already been through this period, they learn and they know how to constantly react to the changes of government policies every day, right? And how to make use of opportunities differently. Imagine if you used to go through all of this, imagine who would you be as the leader in the future? Like, what else can stop you? Or as compared to the, you know, let's say the old leaders, they never been through this and they don't know how to react to all of this, right? So that is the opportunities in terms of knowledge and skills. You learn so much from this already. And it's not like every even century you'll be given an opportunity like this to learn. And hopefully, once enough. Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's just looking at the bright side of it. But challenges will always exist. Before COVID, we already have challenge with the manpower. After COVID, we also have challenge with the manpower, but we also have opportunities for a lot of young people, especially Vietnamese staff. A lot of positions in the past were held by, you know, expatriate market, like with experts, but now because of the layoff, cut down on budget, they now place the Vietnamese, you know, candidate in these positions. And it's also the opportunities to see that, you know, like even local employees are also like capable to hold these positions, right? And also less experienced staff in employees, it used to take longer time to, you know, to climb up the corporate ladders. Now it's easier for them because a lot of experienced people already left, right? Because not everyone can handle with a salary cut, right? Right, a lot of them already left, so it means that, you know, it's more chance for, you know, like mid-career employees, right, less experience to climb up the ladder as well, right? So those are the opportunities. So I think it depends on which side we choose to look at.
Thanks to Ngo Minh Quân and Solene Lê for taking us through the ups and downs of the Vietnam tourism sector. That's all for today from Vietnam and Boba. Please do leave us a review and spread the word with your friends. And you can reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter at Vietnam and Boba Podcast. This show is a co-production of SoundFab and San Nguyen. That's me. Stay tuned for more stories behind the headlines. This is Vietnam and Boba.